Hello, six pack of confidence. Been so many nights since we first met. Glad to see you brought all your friends for another night of Plastic Cup Politics.
Hey, how's it going, everybody? Thanks for tuning in. Pressing play on a new episode of Plastic Cup Politics Podcast, hosted by myself, Dr. Sean Hayes, PhD, who has a PhD in political science. That's kind of why we do this, because if you're like me, in this day and age, you probably have questions. So it's good having somebody that paid a whole lot of money and has a whole lot of student debt that will do a podcast for free so they can tell you all that knowledge. If you see him, buy him a beer or something. Articles of impeachment were drafted today. So that seems like a good time to have a podcast. Dr. Sean Hayes, PhD, how you doing? What are you having? Oh, but real quick, at Plastic Cup Pod. Yeah, at Plastic Cup Pod, all your favorite social media sites. And then Dr. Sean Hayes, PhD, how you doing?
I'm doing good, man. I am drinking Blood Orange IPA, 21st Amendment Brewery. Brew free or die. I think I've had this one on the show before.
Yeah, because I think I remember talking about come hell or high watermelon.
Mm-hmm.
So, guess what?
Yeah, we discussed how I don't really dig on watermelon flavored things.
Yeah, and nor do I. Everything going well in your world?
Yeah. Yeah.
Since the last time we talked, you passed some massive test. I know that.
I am now a GIAC certified incident handler. So GCIH is the certification that I passed. Hold on one second. What the heck was that?
Ghost?
Did you hear a big creak?
Yeah, it sounded like a door opening. Ghost.
Bizarre, yeah. My door is closed as fuck.
Dude. Andrew is going to be so excited that we have EVPs on this, because, yeah, I definitely heard a door opening, and, yeah, my door is closed. It sounded like the wall right next to you, like, was a door, and it opened. Totally yeah. Ghost Adventures, only nobody yelled,
Shh. Well, we got to turn the night vision filter on, too, for the cameras.
Okay, I'm time stamping it. It was at, 3:24 in the recording. We'll go back and we'll check the EVP. Anyway, wow. A paranormal show and politics.
What are you drinking, dude?
I'm going to have a throwback as well. Mine's the throwback to about a year ago. I canned off some samples and one of them made it into the show, and that is of the Goat's Milk Caramel Imperial Stout that we did. We did it last year and we did it again. Another 75 pounds of fresh goat's milk caramel into a stout. Last year 10.5, this year 11%. It's
nice.
If you like goat cheese, if you like the tanginess of goat cheese, it's in the beer, man. It's pretty rad. And it will be at some of your fry stores. If you're into those swanky fry stores that have the taps, keep an eye out for the goat milk stout. You can get some nice
powder fill. Nice.
But hey, man, we got 2 feet. Let's jump right the hell into this. Try to keep it Arizona. Guess what? Paul Gosar doesn't think the president did anything wrong. So there. Boom. There's our Arizona tilt.
Huge surprise. I'm shocked.
So we had a couple more open door testimonies. We had some scholars in. And then we had both counsel in, or somebody that was in place of Adam Schiff. That seemed to come up a lot. I still watch these things. I can't believe that Adam Schiff, it's his report. Why isn't he sitting here answering questions? Hey, man, let's start there. Hey, man, why isn't Adam Schiff in there answering questions?
The lawyers wrote the report.
Good.
Works. Somebody's going to answer questions about the report. It should be the people who drafted it.
Dude, this is going to make no sense to anybody except for me and the 8 people that actually watched it. Because there was another, why isn't Adam Schiff here telling this story? And then there was also, I've never had a judge then also be a witness. So it seemed like they were trying to fight it both sides. Doesn't matter. Nobody watched it. It was weird. If you did watch it, you can go, Mark LaRue, I agree with you. That was weird. But nobody watched that shit.
Yeah, and nobody watched it because essentially, and they were justified in failing to watch it because it was exactly what everyone expected it to be. Right. Neither side invited a legal expert that they thought might disagree with them. Right. The Democrats went out and found a couple that they knew would agree with their position, which isn't hard to do because the vast majority of legal scholars do agree with their position. The Republicans went out and found someone that they could pay to come and support their position. Right. And he did just that.
And he has absolutely no position because he did that before in 96 in the Clinton impeachment trial and kind of said like the exact opposite kind of stuff about lying, which and once again, I am the one on the show saying that Bill Clinton did lie to the American people, and I think he should have been impeached for lying to the American people. That's how liberal this goddamn show is. So moving on, the scholars were actually interesting to listen to from both sides.
Yeah.
But it was dry, and I guess that's what the judiciary does. So, but now we're all through that. We have articles. Those are probably going to be voted on. We were recording on the 10th. We were recording on Tuesday. They're saying that those might be drawn up and ready to go on Thursday, the 12th. Then what happens?
They drafted articles that are with the Judiciary Committee. The Judiciary Committee will produce final articles and vote them out of committee on Thursday, and they will go to the full House for a vote. It looks like the vote is going to pass on party lines.
I was going to say, you took a bunt and missed on the first and thinking there might be somebody with a spine. You learned your lesson.
I'm not making that mistake again.
There you go.
The old trite DC truism, right? The only thing that can bring down a Republican politician is a live boy or a dead girl. Maybe a tape will come out showing Trump fucking some dude while he strangles a woman to death, and the GOP senators will finally vote their conscience. But that seems unlikely. And so they will fail to convict in the Senate, which is not the same thing as exonerating him, but they will not be able to successfully remove him from office, which means we have to depend on the American people to do that in November.
Well, we will hope for better in November. Boom.
Yeah.
I just named this episode. Check out Jimmy World, y'all. And I've had this argument with people about if he's not removed in the Senate, then what was all of this for? And to me, it's because sometimes you have to do the right thing, even if you know the outcome is going to not go your way.
There's that. And I definitely want to give those Democrats out there with the courage of their convictions credit where credit is due. They did indeed move to support impeachment regardless of the likely outcome because it was the right thing to do. There also is a little bit of politics here. The assumption is that the Senate Republicans are in the bag for Trump no matter what, right? And that was the assumption all along. So this trial isn't for them. It's for the independents and moderate Republicans who will ultimately bring about the end of the Trump regime in November of 2020.
Let's backtrack a little bit. We have two articles of impeachment. The first article is for abuse of power, which would be everything that went on with the Ukraine. And the second is for not obstruction of justice, but obstruction of Congress, as in we're not giving you anything. I think the obstruction of Congress seems relatively easy in that the White House is not given any documents or allowed people to testify.
The obstruction one's a fucking slam dunk if the Senate Republicans weren't in the bag for Trump. If that institution hadn't been completely co-opted by the neo-Nazis in the White House, the obstruction one would be a no-brainer.
I don't think much has changed as far as information-wise as what has gone on in the Ukraine or what happened in the Ukraine. I think that
the additional testimony did provide, you know, the timeline has now been corrected. We now know for a fact that the Ukrainians were aware of the withheld military aid prior to the call on the 25th. There are no magic gaps in the transcript that will exonerate Trump. The only thing that could possibly come of releasing the full transcript would be to implicate him further. Look, the defense that the Republicans are mounting at this point isn't that this didn't happen, right? The defense that they're mounting is, who gives a shit? What they are counting on is that the American people no longer care about the law, that they no longer care about the Constitution or about integrity.
Or the elections.
Yeah. That's their play at this point. So both charges are actually a slam dunk. If the Senate was likely to vote based on the evidence and testimony that will be presented to them during the trial, it would be an overwhelming vote to convict and remove. But we know that's not going to happen, because their argument is a far more dangerous one than it didn't happen. Their argument is, it did happen, but what the fuck are you going to do about it?
I think they blocked off a bit of January for the trial, because it's going to happen. When it gets to that point, will it look more Matlock or more like what we've seen?
It will look more Matlock. The trial will be presided over by Chief Justice John Roberts of the Supreme Court, who is only partially in the bag for the Trump administration, so he may actually do a relatively impartial job of presiding over the trial. The evidence will be presented by, and the testimony will be solicited by, professional attorneys representing. Despite the fact that the White House claims they won't mount an affirmative defense, there will be counsel there to represent the interests of the executive branch during the trial. You know, and at the very least, you can expect the Senate Republicans to ensure that there's counsel there, even if the White House claims they're not going to participate. I don't know whether that claim, that they're not going to participate will actually hold up. I don't think they'll be able to stay out of it, but maybe it will. Maybe they'll be able to successfully stonewall their way through. That is probably the most dangerous outcome, to be honest, as far as democracy is concerned. If they are legitimately able to look at Congress and say, yeah, the president did all those things, and once again, the fuck are you going to do about it? And get away with it? We are just all in trouble, folks.
To completely stonewall and just from the top of the wall, thumb their nose at Congress.
Yep.
Which has been what's going on so far. I told them we already got one.
Except those Frenchmen in the Monty Python skit were clever. And there's absolutely no one in the Trump administration who can lay claim to either of those things.
And then the trial is going to be just the same witnesses going over the same shit, just more in a quarterly fashion?
That's not necessarily true. So some of the people that we were all hoping would testify who didn't are still awaiting rulings by courts on the executive branch's attempt to institute a blanket ban against cooperation with the inquiry. So we may still hear from, for example, John Bolton or... is it Don McGahn? I think his first name is Don.
Yeah. Yes.
So there is there's still a very decent possibility that the Supreme Court, which again hasn't been completely corrupted by the Trump administration yet, may still uphold the Constitution, because there's no interpretation or no facial reading of the Constitution that supports the Trump administration's position at this point. So the Supreme Court would have to be willing to write new law to justify what's going on. And I don't think John Roberts in particular is going to be willing to do that. So it's very likely that we actually will hear from John Bolton and Don McGahn, and that may be the straw that breaks the camel's back. Who knows? We can still hold out hope. But we will also, we'll hear again from the same witnesses, but this time cross-examined in a more formal manner and more rigorously. And we can expect the members of the Senate to be a little less juvenile than the members of the House of Representatives. So the trial may not look like quite as much of a circus as what we saw in the lower house.
I just realized you cannot hear an eye roll on a podcast. Go on.
No, you can't. But to be honest, look, I'm no fan of Moscow Mitch. Everybody knows that. But it's the nature of the Senate. It is always going to be a more sort of sedate and formal proceeding, even when we know that for the GOP, it's a sham. None of them are participating meaningfully. Right, they all already know how they're going to vote, regardless of what evidence is presented to them.
So speaking of Don McGahn,
that in November, by the way, motherfuckers, even those of you who agree with them and who agree with them sort of in general, that you're Trump supporters, remember this shit. They don't know that you agree with them. So far as they know, all of the polling data indicates that the majority of Americans disagree with them profoundly. And yet they are still going to press ahead with treating this trial as if it does not matter and is not real. And they're going to vote along party lines. They are failing to represent the fundamental legal document that has glued this country together for 250 years now. And that's the Constitution. They are thumbing their noses at the oath of office they took when they first stepped into the Senate. That's not something you should take lightly. So you remember that shit come November. Moscow Mitch is up for re-election.
Speaking of Don McGahn, Don McGahn got a subpoena to testify. Here's the thing. It wasn't in this. He got a subpoena to testify back in the Mueller days. So 8 months ago, he was subpoenaed to testify. And guess what? We got our court ruling. It only took 8 months to get our court ruling saying that Don McGahn can testify. So when are we going to hear him testify? Oh, well, now there's another reason why he shouldn't be able to testify. So this new reason that he shouldn't be able to testify will take another 8 months. They want to have this trial in January. Are you saying that we should keep pushing these things back? Like when you said that we may hear from McGahn and we may hear from Bolton, there's no fucking chance in hell. Like if we wait for any of these court cases, we're looking at 2021. It took 8 months to get McCann's testimony. That isn't going to happen.
Well, so let me clarify. The McGahn case and one other case pertaining to this issue are now past the district court level. They are in front of appellate courts now. Proceedings in front of appellate courts and proceedings in front of the Supreme Court take far less time. Right? There's really no sort of relitigation of the evidence. What takes place on appeal is a review of the law and the process. Right. So lawyers will show up and make arguments in front of in the McGahn case, I think they already have made appellate arguments in front of a panel. The panel will come back with a ruling. The GOP will lose again. They'll probably appeal to what's called en banc, which means they want to argue their case in front of the entire appellate court instead of just a 3-judge panel. They'll argue en banc. They'll lose again. It'll go to the Supreme Court. They'll argue in front of the Supremes, and the Supremes will issue an expedited ruling, right? They're not, because they know that there is a public interest in resolving the case quickly so that the result of the case can be useful to, an important ongoing public event like the impeachment.
I'm saying that we will watch the Super Bowl before any of those guys testify, or before the courts come down. That's where my money is.
If that's the case, they will. They'll find a way to move the trial in the Senate back.
Another goddamn cliffhanger on this show. Stay tuned. Sean said he wanted to talk about Florida, and when Sean said he wants to talk about Florida, I think I know what he wants to talk about, so I'll tell you what I know, and then you can take it from there. There was another shooting where a Saudi soldier shot three people on a military base, and I want to say Pensacola.
Yes. All right. So, they were at the Naval Air Station in Pensacola, Florida, which is one of the places that we train naval aviators. And it is one of the schools that we train foreign nationals from supposedly friendly, quote unquote, friendly governments. We train their soldiers as well. In this case, this was a member of the Saudi Air Force who was training with naval aviators at the Naval Air Station in Pensacola, Florida. He had previously been training somewhere else. He went back to Saudi Arabia at middle of 2018, came back this year, reported to the NAS in Pensacola to start flight training. We know that he held a dinner party the night before the act of terrorism took place, where he showed videos of mass shootings. A couple of his friends came along with him to the shooting and waited in the car outside and taped the event on their phone, and claimed, you know, they just happened to be there and they heard the shooting start and thought it would be interesting. So they turned their cameras on. And these are other members of the Saudi military, by the way, who are there training as well. That's who we're talking about when we say his friends. The reason why I wanted to get to this, when I first heard this story, all I could think of was the following. In the weeks after the September 11th attacks, we learned that 19 of the 20 hijackers came from Saudi Arabia. We learned that they came here and took private flight training. They were almost caught because a couple of the flight schools noticed that they had no interest in learning how to land and reported this as suspicious. And the FBI opened an investigation that ultimately went nowhere. This is something that was covered in the 9/11 report. 19 of the 20 hijackers were Saudi Arabian nationals who came here and took private flight lessons.
15 of 19.
This piece of shit was a Saudi national who came here to the United States to take military flight lessons. We are training the soldiers of a country that has attacked us on numerous occasions now. For those of you who were not outraged over what happened to Jamal Khashoggi, and I know there are plenty of you out there, right? Because, you know, he's just another dirty Middle Easterner anyway. Who gives a fuck if they cut him up, right? They're all savages. That's what your dear leader, the Donald, said about it, right? I want you to think good and hard about your support for the Orange One and his support for the Saudi royal family. And have you heard any strident condemnations from the Trump administration of Saudi Arabia? Even Matt Gaetz, right? A piece of shit that we know is in the bag for Trump, right? He's one of the obstructionists who's put on all sorts of theatrics during the House hearings in an attempt to derail the impeachment. Even he immediately released a statement saying that it, because he represents the district where the Naval Air Station at Pensacola is, by the way. Even he said that, like, the Saudi, a representative of the Saudi government reached out to him and he told them in no uncertain terms that they will cooperate with this investigation. Period. Right? Gaetz is probably lying through his fucking teeth. But even he felt the need to publicly disavow the Saudis.
3 people died in his fucking district. Of course he has to. I mean, you could only go against Trump with Trump so far. Like, where there's fucking dead in your district, you gotta fucking say something. Of course,
well, hey,
it's now 4 days later, but...
Hey, then that is a very valuable point to this whole segment.
There is a breaking point. Even for the dumpster's most devout soldiers in the House of Representatives, there's a breaking point. There's a point at which they can no longer side with Dumpster and his administration. You know, for greats, a couple of service members and a cop being murdered in cold blood by a guest in this country that we were training to fly combat aircraft, right? Despite the fact that not only are the Saudi Arabians, the government of Saudi Arabia, quite clearly our enemy, we also know that what that individual is going to do when we're done training him, he's going to go back there, he's going to get in the cockpit of an F-16, and he's going to bomb Yemeni villages and murder children in Yemen the way they've been doing for years now. Man, if nothing else gets through to the fucking knuckleheads that continue to support Dumpster, it's got to be this. He's in bed with the people who are trying to kill us. He's in bed with the people who sent a man here to murder our servicemen and women in a place where they're supposed to be safe.
Is this the wrong time to bring up the good guy with a gun idea? Probably. Maybe too
soon. No, it's not. It's not the wrong time at all. There was a whole base full of good guys with guns. And this dude still managed to fuck a whole lot of people up until the cops arrived.
I'm here to make stupid fucking jokes, such as the, hey, can we just not teach Saudis how to fly?
I wish it was a joke, dude. By the way, the Department of Defense announced that, so we apparently have 900 of these fuckers here in the United States at various military installations around the country that we are training to kill. They are all now on classroom duty only. Like they can sit in a desk and learn how to kill in theory, but no more actually getting their hands on equipment. Oh, hey, last thing that I really wanted to say before. So some of you may have heard reports that Pensacola is the city government of Pensacola is simultaneously experiencing a cyber attack, a fairly significant one. I can confirm that is legitimate. I have no idea if it's related, but they are indeed experiencing a cyber attack.
Do you know anything more?
I don't actually know anything more. I just know that the reports are legitimate. There are incident responders on the ground trying to deal with the issue. And that's all I know.
Incident responders on the ground. You can't just patch into all that shit from where you are, wherever you are.
No, that's a terrible idea. So, and let me explain why. So let's say you think a threat actor has compromised the network for the city of Pensacola, right? Just in generic terms. And you are hired by the city to respond to this threat, right? Because there's no city level agency that's prepared to deal with an issue like this. And there's no real structures in place, right? To reach out to even the state government in Florida doesn't necessarily have structures in place to deal with something like this. And there's no real process in place for like Pensacola to reach out to Homeland Security or whatever. You know, so like Homeland Security is involved, but that's the weird thing, right? You've got a city government that is hiring private companies to defend it against attacks that are most likely originating from what's known as an advanced persistent threat, right? Most of which are nation state actors, some of which are, you know, particularly well-funded and long-lasting criminal organizations, but most of them are
are with foreign governments. And there's a lot of overlap between those two groups, by the way. Let's say you, the network for the city of Pensacola, again, in super generic terms, has been compromised. In order to remotely deal with that issue, you have to remote in somehow to the network of the city of Pensacola. At that point, how do you know that your messaging or your attempts at intervention aren't being intercepted and at least monitored, if not interfered with, by the adversary? You don't. You have to deploy people on site. You have to go hands on keyboard. You have to start pulling out drives for deep forensic analysis. You know.
Radio silence.
Yeah. The fun shit. You keep exhaustive handwritten notes, right? So when you're in court and you get asked questions, you're flipping through a goddamn notebook, right? Chances are you remember the answer off the top of your head anyway, but judges and juries love notebooks. They love handwritten notes. So you keep tons of them. You also keep handwritten notes because recording anything on an electronic device when you're in the middle of an active compromise, right? You are opening yourself up for the adversary being able to get a look at your notes and to, you know, use that reconnaissance to aid them in evading your continued efforts to contain and eradicate their presence in the host network. So there's all sorts of reasons not to try and do that stuff remotely. In some cases you can, but when you're experiencing a pretty severe attack like Pensacola is, yeah, there are incident responders on the ground.
Hey, did you hear that, Congress? Did you hear that, White House? Did you hear that, Republicans? Notes help. People in court love notes.
Yeah.
That is how you wrap up a podcast. I don't know when we're going to talk to you again, but when it's something important like impeachment or like this Pensacola shit, thank you all very much. However you're listening to this, go ahead and backtrack, like hit back two times and then hit subscribe. Seems right. Could be right. Or just back once, wherever you hit the subscribe thing. Do that. We will talk at you randomly about awesome stuff. Sound good?
Sounds good.
Classic Cup Pod if you want to interact. And say goodnight, Sean.
Goodnight, Sean. Whoa, 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 whoa. It's just a